Hey, what's going on out there, Clipper folks, Clipper people?
Oh, yeah.
It's me, William the Opinion Updike.
And I am even positive after that loss, Chuck Mockler.
And we're your friendly neighborhood Clippers podcast, a couple of best friends and credentialed Clipper media, I don't know, entertainers, broadcasters?
I think entertainers is probably a more accurate word for what we provide to the Clipper sphere.
anyways, we bring you Locked On Clips 5 days a week,
yep.
Monday through Friday,
yep.
7 a.m.
Every day.
And we got a heck of a show lined up for you today. As Chuck alluded to, Clips lost a little bit of a heartbreaker.
It was winnable, but, you know, I don't think a lot of people were expecting a win in this one. But there were some flashes of good.
It was a good effort from a shorthanded Clippers.
Yeah, for
sure. 108-99 loss to the Hawks. We're going to talk about what we did like from that one, as well as what we didn't like. And then just talk about overall how we're feeling about this road trip coming up. Talking more about that road trip. Today's What You Say Wednesday, which, if you're new to the show, put a poll out on Twitter every single Tuesday to go ahead and discuss those the following day on Wednesday.
Yeah. We got a whole schedule over here.
And this one is all about the absences in the Clippers road trip, how y'all thought it would affect the record over those six games.
Yeah.
I think all of us initially were pretty high going into this, and expectations have changed.
Some of us always are.
And then to wrap things up in shavings, which is just kind of where we wrap up everything else, we have an update for you on the Batum Battalion shirt raffle.
Almost here.
And we need to talk about Lou.
We have to.
So all that and more coming up right about now.
You are Locked On Clippers, your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yes, so the Clippers did drop a quasi-heartbreaker in Atlanta in front of some fans, 108-99. But if you are not aware, Kawhi, PG, and Patrick Beverley did not play in this game. We're going to talk more about the Kawhi and PG status, which still feels pretty up in the air. But
Did you think it was crazy that we didn't lose by 50 points?
No. It makes that game seem even wilder. But so the Clippers starters tonight were Reggie Jackson, who played, I mean, maybe his best basketball as a Clipper.
Definitely his best basketball.
Luke Kennard, Terrence Mann, Nick Batum, and Serge Ibaka. So, you know, we had Mook and Lou off the bench, which we're going to talk about later. But there was some stuff to like in this game.
Oh, absolutely. Look, we talked about this yesterday. Reggie Jackson coming into this six-game road stretch, depending on how long the absences of Paul George and Kawhi are, to me was a guy that I said had an opportunity to kind of gain back some goodwill that, I mean, frankly, he had kind of lost for me. I'm sure that's true for a lot of fans.
So he's been like kind of consistently pretty solid. It just sucks with Reggie because the boneheaded plays are so boneheaded.
Yes.
That it does make me forget the good stuff.
Yes. Yeah. And this was
which is
a
not
game,
good, is what I'm saying.
This was a game that was like mostly all highs. He finished with 27-8, 50% from the floor. Only had three turnovers, eight assists to three turnovers, baby. That's better than Paul George numbers, my man.
That's almost Kawhi level. But, yeah, he stepped up when we needed it every time this season.
Yes.
When Bev had to sit out that last half.
I had to think about it, but yeah.
Some people on Twitter are talking about maybe swapping his minutes with Lou for right now, which for right now, I'm not necessarily against. Right now is the key. Doing a lot of heavy lifting there.
So it seems like, you know, Ty Lue talked about having kind of the hard heart to heart, the come to God moment, whatever you want to call it, with Reggie Jackson. Obviously, I believe it was three games in which he did not see any playing time.
Yeah,
and ever since then, I gotta be honest, man, he's looked a lot smarter on the floor
for sure.
I do think that with the Lou Will hip injury, it is a factor, but I think that we're already kind of seeing that shift to seeing some larger Reggie minutes, and maybe he has regained a little bit of trust
for sure
from Ty Lue as well.
Serge and Zoo were great tonight. This game, look, the Clippers, I mean,
this was the Serge show early on.
Yeah, we were up at half in this one. Serge had 15 points and three blocks, and just early, like, he was keeping us in this one. For this game was messy, and for a while the Clippers offense was like Reggie Jackson being on fire, Marcus Morris hitting mid-range shots, and then Serge just kind of hurling the ball at the rim, and it went in. And for a while, it looked pretty good. And Zoo, 13 points, 10 boards. I mean, dude, Zoo has turned a corner. Like, Zoo has looked really good these last couple of games. Obviously, he played the Thunder, but, like, he also said Bev texting right after the game, which is just great.
I mean, that's always great news. Yeah, he tweeted, Bev tweeted about Zoo, too. What I loved in this one was like Zoo loves going at like these sort of athletic centers. Capella is like a perfect match for him. Just a traditional center, but Zoo has some size on him and just actually used it this game.
He just needs to pretend that every player is Mike Muscala, because he destroyed Mike Muscala's face with a couple of shoulders.
Like, that back down that he had was so nasty on Mike Muscala. But this was great stuff from Zoo. I do think that he's definitely getting his confidence back, which is great. He was almost perfect from the line tonight. Really delivered in a big way. We're going to talk about it in what we didn't like, but like him not being in the closing lineup with still fouls to give was
pretty odd.
It was questionable to me.
Yeah. The whole team had active hands. We had 11 steals for the Clippers. 4 from Terrence Mann and Luke Kennard.
Each.
Yeah. Each. And Terrence Mann had... Dude, Terrence Mann... Look, the rebounding is very much the best part of Terrence Mann's game. Yeah. But it's a pretty good part of his game right now.
Yeah. You put in the notes here some Pat Bev-like rebounds.
He goes for offensive boards. He ended with 9 total rebounds in this one. It was great. And just early on... You know, the early rebounding looked good. We had 51 boards in this game.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, you know, the Hawks had 50, but it looked good early.
It did. And I thought...
early being the key word.
Yeah. I thought in that first half, it looked like, you know, it looked like we weren't going to miss a rebound. Frankly, we were swarming presence on the glass. You know, we did miss some key ones down the stretch, but... Hey, what are you going to do?
That's what happens when you're missing your 3 best players for the most part.
Yeah, it's going to happen. So what didn't we like from this one?
This, you know, Trae Young, 38 points. Kevin Huerter hit some really clutch late threes.
Mm-hmm.
They started to push the pace late, which Ty Lue talked about in the post game.
Yes.
And we couldn't, you know, it's not kind of surprising that we couldn't exactly keep up with them without our guys in there. And our zone just kind of got outworked by their outside shooting. Also, DeAndre Hunter, I don't watch a lot of Hawks games. He is very good at basketball.
He is.
I didn't think he was bad, but I was like, damn, he's great on both ends.
Damn good. Yeah, he's made a jump this season.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I don't know. I guess the thing with that was they were playing downhill. We just could not keep up in drop pick and roll coverage. Like, it's just.
Which is the Clippers' biggest defensive issue right now.
Well, yeah, I mean, especially just given the personnel that we had out there going against Trae Young. I mean, like,
and we gave up. So the weird part is, in the first half, the Hawks shot like 7 3-pointers the mm-hmm. whole first half.
Yeah,
because our defense was working. We were like kind of sitting in drop. We were like trying shoot your floaters. Kevin Huerter missed like 4 layups early.
Yeah,
but then it
came
just
alive though late.
And then I think it might have been a legs issue.
Yeah,
Kennard can't handle a lot of minutes right now. He played what, 29?
Yeah.
Like, he played a lot. The rotations got a little wonky.
He played 28, but yeah.
28. The rotations got a little wonky. It's kind of to be expected, but, like, let's go back to that closing lineup you were talking about, because there was some stuff there where it was, like, Zoo was playing real well in this game.
Yeah, okay. So we did end up closing this with the exact same lineup that we started with: Reggie, Luke, Terrence, Nick, and Serge. And I just gotta wonder if that was the optimal
lineup
to put out there at that time,
because Batum was getting kind of worked on defense like all night.
Batum had kind of a rough night despite like a decent showing early. Could not really find a shot either. He was 1 of 5 from 3, 2 of 7 overall.
One he hit was big though.
Yes, the one he hit was big. Certainly Morris also struggled with his shot, but you know, I think that there's value in having him out there just as another guy who can both play defense and offensively give some different looks than, say, I don't know, your Terrence Manns.
Yeah, who had a nice dunk, but the shot just isn't there. And yeah, you know, Morris looked good early. Everyone was kind of joking on Twitter it's going to be a Knicks-Morris game. So here's the thing. We had, what, like 6 or 7 guys in double figures?
Mm-hmm.
Reggie went off. He had 20 points. But, like, you know, Lou Will's capable of going off. He didn't. Morris is obviously a very capable 20-point scorer. He couldn't really do it. There just wasn't. We needed another spark offensively.
We did. And, you know, Zoo was just, like we talked about in the last segment, he was so efficient. You know, he had 10 boards, was pretty dominant in that area. Only played 18 minutes.
Brutal fourth foul call, too.
Yeah, I mean, he had two fouls. One was on John Collins, and the other one was DeAndre Hunter. And the DeAndre Hunter one, he was not moving, and he was straight up and down.
Yeah.
Ridiculous call to me. I thought the Collins one was questionable as well. But the thing with that is, like, if we're dancing around with this Zoo and Surge idea, when is there another time to try it than the time when you're getting burned in pick and roll coverage and you could use a strong anchor as well as Surge out there?
I think it's against the Lakers is where we're saving it.
All right.
I think it's a personnel thing. I'm not agreeing with it, but
not a time to workshop it, though?
Hey, I mean, why not?
You're not even going to do a dress rehearsal?
Justin Lerner asked about this, so he didn't answer it last episode. But, I mean, this would have been a great time to see it. Real quick, how are we feeling? I feel like Clippers fans kind of got drawn into this game because we were like, we're up at half. We got it. And then it was just like, ah, shit.
This first half really got me excited. And then I got a little unrealistically upset.
That's a great way to put it.
The only thing that I guess that does kind of bother me is our three-point shooting woes have now continued. This is the third game in a row, shooting less than 30%. This game, the amount of attempts weren't really even there to, you know, sort of offset the difference. So I just hope that even with the loss of Kawhi and Paul George, the rest of the guys can still get it drilled in to keep that ball movement and just, you know, feel the capability or feel empowered to let it fly sometimes.
Yeah, there's a lot more encouraging from this game. You know, like we said, handful of guys in double digits. Terrence Mann did his thing on the boards. Zoo looks more confident. But hey, on to the Heat.
Yeah.
You know, with who we got. Coming up, we're talking the What You Say Wednesday poll about this road trip with what we think is going to happen with the record, what the fans think. But first, we got to give a shout out to betonline.ag.
That's right.
Hope you're ready for some football. There's only one professional football game left this season. It is the Super Bowl, as they call it. Very big deal.
The Big Bowl.
The Big Bowl, you know. There's only one place that has you covered, one place we trust, and that is betonline.ag. I personally got in when the Chiefs were three-point favorites. I think that line's moved up to 3.5, so your boy Chuck's looking pretty good. Might be able to buy groceries the day after. Who knows? but if you sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use that promo code LOCKEDON, you'll get a 50% welcome bonus. A lot of blowouts so far this season. Hope you didn't bet on the Clippers too early against the Hawks tonight. But don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use that promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Bet online, your online sportsbook experts.
Okay, and we're back with a What You Say Wednesday. If you're new to the show, every single Tuesday, poll goes out on Twitter. We want to know what you think about a given question. This one is very pertinent. Given the absences, obviously, to start this Clippers road trip, what record do you think the Clippers will have over these six games?
Yes. Again, thank you to everyone who voted.
Yes, appreciate it. Appreciate it.
The options of this one were 1-5/2-4.
That's too broad.
I was hamstrung by the how many options you can put on Twitter. 3-3.
Okay.
And then 4-2 or 5-1.
Okay.
And then 6-0 for the Freaks.
Okay. Well,
which got more votes than 4-2 and 5-1?
Okay.
Which is astonishing.
All right. These two splitting is...
what do you want me to do?
It's difficult to read.
It's Twitter's fault.
It's difficult to read. So, I don't even know.
So the majority of people voted 3-3, which is kind of that's kind of where I'm at.
Yeah.
If we go 3-3, love it. No problem with that. And if you say anything better than that is good, like, we're already 0-1, so... You know, the 1-5, 2-4 crew. I didn't put the 0-6 option on here because I refuse to have that kind of mindset.
That's fair.
Where are you at on this?
I love 6-0 for the Freaks.
Dude, it got 6-0 for the Freaks got 16% of the vote. 4-2 and 5-1 only got 14%. 46% voted 3-3, by the way.
So I like where everybody's head is at with this 3-3, the majority of the votes there. I got to be honest, I still think that's...
Gracious.
I think that's a little optimistic. I think I'm probably closer to the 4-2 camp.
4-2? You mean 2-4?
2-4. Yeah. Sorry.
I was like, whoa.
Wait, what?
I was like, damn, dude, that's dope.
I'm definitely closer to the 24%, the nearly quarter who voted for the 1-5/2-4.
Yeah.
I think that 2-4... Oh, man. I do think that 2-4 is manageable, but we'll just have to see how things progress.
I think 2-4 is manageable. I think that 2-4, 3-3, you can't really go wrong on it. And, I mean, obviously the issue is how long are Kawhi and PG out? Which we still don't know. Ty Lue was asked pregame against the Hawks. He's not sure if Kawhi and PG will join them on the 6-game road trip. That's a quote. He said, not sure, which is probably coach speak, but still a little
I think
worrisome.
That's the answer that you're firing out anytime.
For sure. Yeah. Especially with COVID stuff. Farbod, noted Clippers, fantastic reporter, has sources say they were testing negative on Tuesday, which is obviously great for everyone's health involved and stuff like that. Tests are weird, though.
Mm-hmm.
If Kawhi and PG can't make this whole road trip, where do you put us?
I might be in the
1-5, 2-4 crowd for that.
I think that's 1-5.
Because we go Heat, Magic. I think we got to play the Nets, I'm pretty sure, too.
Yeah, so it goes.
We have a back-to-back.
It's brutal. It's Heat and Magic on a back-to-back. And then you got the Knicks, who, got something going. The Nets.
Dude, Austin Rivers. The man's a walking bucket right now.
Yeah. The Nets and then the Cavs, which is, I mean, going to be a tough defense to play. Colin Sexton out of his mind. I think that if they're not there for any point of this.
At any point.
I think 1-5 is pretty realistic.
That's fair. Do you think? I think I'm worried because I think people are just going to lose their minds. And by people, I mean most.
You mean you.
Not really, because I'd be like, we were missing 50 points, 11 boards, and 11 assists from Kawhi and PG for these six games.
I mean, it would, you know.
It'd suck.
Yeah, it would suck. Obviously not ideal to go 1-5, but, you know, it is what it is. Hopefully, you know, we don't have another snag like this. This is, I mean, you know, the Nets went through a similar thing with, you know, missing Durant. Just absolutely brutal.
Sorry, go ahead.
What?
I say, is it weird that somehow Kawhi and PG, like, they were around everyone else? Like, I don't know how this damn virus works. And I mean, I'm not saying that in like a weird way. I just, it's so confusing.
So, like, I guess this is not a scoop, just for anyone listening. This is just the way I'm interpreting this.
This is a William Upton, not scoop.
I am interpreting this as somebody in, you know how you can get your family party.
The camp.
Or your camp. Man, I hate that terminology just because of the way that things ended with Kawhi and Pop. But anyways.
Oh, good call.
The way that your camp, your team.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, yeah.
Your close circle, you can opt in for them to get tested. And then the health and safety protocols dictate that even with a negative test, you have to go in quarantine. This is what happened to Kevin Durant. So it's just my best guess that this is what had happened, that the positive tests were both from people in their camp.
Yeah.
And
which sucks. We hope they're okay.
Which does suck. But hopefully, you know, like in the best of cases, it means that neither of them, hopefully, have been infected and will be able to, you know, return on a shorter timeline than if either one of them had personally tested positive.
For sure.
I'm optimistic about that.
Also hope that Pat Bev's doing okay.
Oh, yeah, the knee soreness.
Knee soreness is a thing. But, yeah, well, hopefully we'll have some news on that.
I was going to have the worst hot take. I'm not even going to say it.
No, well, please don't. we'll have more news for y'all on that as we get it, obviously. You know, we hope everyone's doing okay with that. But, hey, we're in for a long one. The Heat are, I mean, Bam Adebayo's playing real damn well right now, so it's going to be interesting how that works out. Coming up, we're going to be talking Lou Williams and just maybe we need to chill out. Maybe we need to relax on what's going on with Lou. Maybe it's an injury thing. Who knows? Also, there's a horrible trade rumor brought up by the Clippers that we'll talk about. But first, we're going to give a shout out to a couple sponsors.
Hey. First off, Chuck, you're in the market for a car. When things go wrong with that car, where are you going to get your parts?
Ooh, probably my neighbor's car.
Not a good idea.
He's a pretty tough guy. I'd probably get my ass beat.
The thing is about your neighbor's car too, you don't even know if it's the same make or model as yours.
No, cars are cars.
There's so many makes and models out there now that it's impossible for any traditional brick and mortar storefront to stock all the parts that you would need. So why would you endure the seemingly intimidating or pointless line of questioning, is your car an LX, is it an EX, a PX? And wait, While the counterman has to order your parts on their computer, choosing only the brands that his warehouse happens to carry. You've got a computer, buddy. So you can go to rockauto.com and access all the parts at your home or in your pocket. You can go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They've got everything you need, from engine control modules to brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, even new carpet. The rockauto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate.
Oh, yeah.
Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brands, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, speaking of prices, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low.
Awesome.
And they're the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. So why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck, right locked on in their How Did You Hear About Us box, so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. Now that our cars are all fixed up, gassed up, I'm a human being, could use some gas. What kind of fuel can I get?
Well, I got some fuel for you, but it's not what we're going to be talking about right now, particularly. We're talking about Built Bar. They got some new flavors for you. It's even more delicious than before. The six new flavors are caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. The bars are covered in 100% chocolate. They're soft and easy to chew, which you have a bunch of fake teeth like I do. Hey, that matters sometimes. Built Bars are healthy. They're great for the health-conscious person. You can lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious chocolatey treat. I like the cookies and cream flavor because I like to trick myself into thinking I'm eating something not healthy when really it is pretty healthy. 17 grams of protein in that one. Only 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, 4 grams net carbs. Right now, while supplies last, you might get a free cooler with purchase. If you go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON, you'll get 20% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com.
Okay, so we're back with shavings, which is just kind of where we wrap up everything else. Could be league wide, could be Clipper specific. We got to start with something Clipper specific.
Let's talk Lou.
Let's talk Lou.
People are getting a little fired up about Lou because he's played pretty poorly. I'm not going to sugarcoat it.
Yeah.
He has not played well recently.
Yes.
I'm not going to pretend like he has. Is this declining faster than we thought, or is this injury stuff? There's some fit stuff with Kennard. I'm just not ready to completely give up on Lou Williams yet.
Oh, I think
we shouldn't, because the season's a quarter over.
I think that it would be insanity to completely give up on Lou Williams. The hip thing apparently is very real.
Yeah, Ty Lue referenced it today.
Yeah, it's clearly still bothering him. I think that it's pretty clear when you look at him from a from a movement perspective that he is not his normal self.
Yeah.
But I mean, you look at it and the efficiency is really
not there.
Rough. But like,
what is he at, like 40% total, 35% from three or something? Maybe less than that from three. Has to be less than that from three.
It's definitely less than that.
Oh, Shane Young NBA at Young NBA, which is gets confused for NBA Young Boys Twitter all the time, which is
hilarious.
So funny. He said that I think we're gonna start doing this for splits. We're doing 2-point field goal percentage and then 3-point field goal percentage. You know what I mean? We got to stop lumping in total field goal with 3-point.
What do you mean? Oh.
You know what I'm saying? Like 2-point attempt percentage.
You mean do completely
2-point and 3-point.
Yeah,
sorry.
Fine.
That was a hard pivot.
Well, Lou Will from the floor in the last, let's say, in the last 5 games.
Yeah.
4 of 14 against Atlanta. 1 of 9 against OKC. 3 of 8 the other time against OKC. 2 of 8 against the Kings, and 0 for 3 against the Pels.
Yeah.
You could strike the Pels one. He only played 9 minutes. But the last game in which he played significant minutes and had a solid contribution was back at the beginning of January against Chicago.
Had a 20 piece, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, he did. Tonight he had 10 points, which was the first time that he's...
Rough efficiency. I'm pretty sure he started like 0 for 10, dude.
It's the first time that he's cracked double digits in the last 5 games.
Yeah, so...
So, to me, it's like the situation that we would talk about sometimes last year. about the like the shooting splits or something being so bad that it you know, it just can't possibly
look. We thought that for Landry, and then it never really like this. You know, it just Lucas Hahn had a good tweet where he was talking about how if this is still happening like at the trade deadline.
Then they'll move him.
Then it probably makes sense to move him.
Yeah.
But people were talking about with Zoo when he was playing poor that we should trade Zoo. And then he turned it around, obviously.
It's hard to not overreact, especially when you see... So, like, here's the thing, right? Previous to these two absences,
yeah,
we saw so many things that looked so good that sort of the sore thumbs stuck out that much more.
Definitely.
And I think... at least I hope that with things looking a little less good overall,
yeah,
you know, it'll be some of these guys will get a little bit more of a chance to shine, if that makes sense.
No, that makes sense. I wish we weren't in that situation with Lou Williams particularly, but that does make sense. It's rough. It's also weird, too, because people who want to trade Lou because he's bad, then what is his trade value?
Yeah.
He's also said a couple times he's just going to retire if he gets traded, which I don't want the Clippers to trade him, but he just fucking retired.
Yeah.
That would feel a little rough just from a heart perspective.
That'd be a huge bummer. Man.
That'd be a bummer. But apparently, you know, the Pels are taking calls on Lonzo Ball, which is supposedly happening. There's a lot of Lonzo truthers out there, but he's in a pretty good situation right now for his style of play. It's not really working.
He's in a great situation.
Yes.
Time to just think that he's maybe
he's
not
an okay
that good.
Player. Yeah. Yeah. But there's also for the 50 millionth time, mm-hmm. there's rumors of the Clippers wanting to trade for Derrick Rose.
Ugh.
Feels like this has come up with before. I don't think it's true. It's not how the Clippers front office works.
Interest from the Clippers.
It would be a straight up also pretty much just Lou for Derrick Rose trade with how the salaries work, or it would be Zoo and some filler, which God no, like that's not going to happen.
I don't see it.
We just don't need another score first guard that's a defensive liability.
Yeah, well, and here's my issue. I mean, even with Lou's shooting woes, he is still more of a shooter than Derrick Rose, who's like a 33% maybe shooter from three. And, you know, Lou certainly has his ups and downs. But Lou also gets the team. He's not going to try to, like, I don't know. I just feel like Lou can go with the flow a little bit of what this team is. I feel like he's accepted his role that is, you know, much different, which also can be attributed to, you know, a marked difference in what his play looks like this year.
Yeah.
Much more than, at least to my mind, Derrick Rose would. Derrick Rose has been, you know, he's been the off-the-bench, you know, spark plug.
The guy can go north-south.
Or starting sometimes. Yeah.
Like, I'm not saying that Derrick Rose isn't good at getting downhill.
Yeah.
Because he very much is. People are talking to me on Twitter about how he gets double-teamed for the Pistons, which is great. I don't think he gets double-teamed if he comes to the Clippers bench.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to double-team Derrick Rose, and if we're staggering, you're going to leave, like, Kennard or Bev or Morris or Batum open. Like, it just... On a bad team, he commands a double-team, which makes total sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
But on a really good team, I don't think that's there. Also, admittedly, don't watch a lot of Pistons games, because why would I?
I mean, he's also just not a playmaker, and I thought that that was like what we wanted, someone who could play make and maybe
play defense,
right?
Which is not there.
Which he does neither.
And he's got some injury knocks. Like, so if we trade Lou for Derrick Rose and then Derrick Rose gets hurt, we're just SOL.
Yeah.
And with the way Reggie has been playing, if Reggie's above Lou Will in the pecking order, like, does Derrick Rose come in and take Reggie's spot? Like, we're also talking recently because people are pretty fired up about this trade recently.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, and also, I mean, that just goes to what I say. Like, he's not a culture fit. He's not a culture fit for this team. It doesn't make any sense.
He seems pretty good. So I will say this. In Detroit, it seems like he's great for the fit there. He's helping young guys. Like, there's some really wholesome footage of him helping people out. We don't have those young guys. I wish we did for a lot of reasons.
We have a bunch of guys who are going to yell at Derrick Rose for being bad at defense. And how do you think he's going to take that?
I just don't know if it fits.
I don't see it.
I don't see it fitting. Who knows? Hey, if at the deadline, Derrick Rose is absolutely lighting it up, and Lou Williams is still like this, hey, the front office is going to do what they're going to do.
Still no thank you.
But still no thank you. We'll see what happens with that. Also, the Clippers front office never leaks stuff, and the Knicks also apparently want him, and Tibbs coaches that team, so that just seems like where he's going to go.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Right?
Yeah. We normally say at us about some conversations like this. Don't at us about Derrick Rose.
No, I got dragged on Twitter today.
We're good on Derrick Rose. We're done with Derrick Rose.
Yeah, I was getting dragged for that. But hey, that's just the breaks. I think that about wraps it up. We got to give a shout out, though. The Batum Battalion raffle.
Hey.
Still very much on. We'll start mentioning this sooner in the show. But the raffle is going to take place on the 8th, which is when the shirts are supposed to come in. There's 20 of them. You can get your paws on them if you put in a review in. Maybe around the 5th. Apple Podcast is really weird about how the reviews come through.
Yeah.
So if you leave one, it doesn't go up. We apologize. There are going to be other giveaways we're going to be able to give to people who don't have Apple Podcasts. We're going to figure those out.
Yeah.
Maybe a foot race. You know, maybe everyone
race would be good.
Maybe everyone enters the LA Marathon. Whoever has the best 20 times gets a shirt. But yeah, we're gonna come at you on Thursday with a preview of the shorthanded Clippers versus the Heat.
Yep.
Not too sure how that one's gonna go.
Yeah, I mean the Heat have been so up and down.
Yeah. Thirsty Thursday, talking about what we want to see more of, and then of course what? Oh, we've got a back to back on Thursday, Friday. Oof, it's gonna be a tough one. And then what if, whatever else happens between now and then in Clipland, well, where can these people listen to us?
You can listen to us on iTunes or the podcast app. As Chuck said, please leave a rating and review if you'd like to get in on this Batum Battalion merch. But you can also listen to us, but not review us, on Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Deezer. You can tell your smart speaker to play Locked On Clippers. If you haven't already, please subscribe. Thank you so much. It really helps us out. We love bringing you this Clippers news Monday through Friday.
Oh, yeah.
7 a.m.
It's a good time, and it's up all day, so you don't have to get up at 7 a.m. if you want to listen to it.
But if you do...
If you take a screenshot of listening to this podcast at 7:01 in the morning, we'll figure it out. Hit us up. We'll figure it out. I have been positive, Chuck Mockler.
And I am William the Opinion Updike. We appreciate you.